This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
And away we go. Welcome to show number 2912.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill.
The Ted Smith. Woo! Robin Fox. And Mike Hawk.
Montgomery.
And you are in the men's row.
On tap today, here come the bad jokes, bitches. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, a men's room shout of the day, fundable listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
The clack.
Drinking it down.
All right, here we go. Kentucky Hickey King is sentenced for burglary in rehab for 5 long years. Meanwhile, hundreds of prank calls come into the Marine Mammal Center, and the culprits will leave you in tears. To Sweden, where a girl finds 1,500-year-old sword in a lake. In Minnesota, many birds will have horrible hangovers when they awake. And Rhode Island Attorney General candidate wins Ugliest Man Alive Award. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, listen. If you had $1.1 million to spend, would you spend it on a bottle of hooch? A private collector in Asia, he did exactly that. And that's a lot of money to spend on a bottle of booze that I think is unlikely that you're ever going to drink. But listen, if you've got the money to do it, do what you want to do. In Indiana, a couple is $700,000 richer, this after hitting the lottery. Now, the thing that makes their story a little more interesting is that they actually bought the wrong lottery tickets. They always bought whatever kind of lottery tickets. They bought the wrong ones. They were pissed. They did what they had to do and won over $700,000. Now, in North Carolina, there's a man. He bought the exact lottery ticket he wanted. He won $200,000. And then he almost threw away the winning lottery ticket. Now, lucky for him, his wife double-checked the ticket. One of those deals, he's about to toss it. She says, wait a second. Turns out, they're $200,000 richer. And in Utah, this is tragic. A couple, they actually lost over $1,000. They had cash. They were saving up for the future. And they put this cash in envelopes. And I'll let you piece together what happened from here. Let's just say the money's in envelopes. They have a 2-year-old child, and they also own a paper shredder. I'm going to let you reach your own conclusion. Ah, you got it right. He shredded all of the cash. Look, when it comes to money, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Here's our question for today. Money. What is the story of the time that you lost it, found it, stole it, made it, or spent it?
Be a part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Over to us and away we go. Welcome to show number 2912. What a large and in charge program we have for you. Guaranteed future repeat. I bet $100 right here and there that you will hear this show one more time.
I say we play it later today.
I bet you'll hear it at least twice. That's how good this show is going to be. The exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. If you can hear it in our voice, Steve and I were up way late last night coming up with some new rhymes and riddles for Ted to challenge in Ted versus the FCC.
We will bring another
one of those for you today. By the way, if you would like to take your hand, take a hand at it, if you think that this is so easy, download the Men's Room app. Mm-hmm. And right there, you can play you versus the FCC. So if you think that this is something that anyone can do, no problem. Try your luck there when you download the Men's Room app. It's free. You can check out the show anytime. So Ted versus the FCC coming up. Ryan Castle, the drunk in charge, will be in to kick off the bad jokes. We will drink and toast with a shout of the day and another round of Profile This. And today we talk about the money and the
story behind the money.
And this is pretty crazy. This bottle, the bottle of Macallan, the holy grail of Scotch whiskey, sold for a record $1.1 million at auction. So the story goes, here is a Scotch that you would truly want to sip and savor, should you have the means to buy it. It's a 60-year-old bottle of Macallan whiskey. It set the record for the most expensive bottle of whiskey in the world when it took in $1.1 million at an auction. The London-based auctioner, do they do it, Mike, do they do it auction style in London when they're doing
it?
Westy mixers. Do you think,
I would think that they would slow down the chant incredibly when they get to that amount of money.
As much as you know, you're an auctioneer, Mike, as much as you know about auctioneering, how do they do it at these London places when they, is it like, who would like to place the next,
That would be the way that I would assume, especially at this kind of a high level where they're spending $1 million on whiskey.
Okay. And an auction like this, because obviously, like, the next item up for bid was not, like, a new frying pan, right? This is one of the... So, are any of the actual buyers there, or is it just, like, their people?
There are some buyers that are there, but you're right. There's a lot of people that are on cell phones with the actual buyer that's on their private jet to Italy or something.
Let me ask you this, just based on your knowledge. So it gets $1.1 million.
They're going to make the auction, so I called it in.
What do you believe they started the bidding at? Knowing what they got out of it.
If they got $1.1 million out of that, they probably started right around $250,000.
They started at
$700,000.
$250,000. A quarter of $1 million.
Right. Yeah.
Would anybody start me at $250,000? Would anybody start? It was London. £250,000.
They were expecting between $900,000 something and maybe a million.
Let me ask this, Mike. As far as that goes, all right?
Okay.
So I'm going to do one of these auctions and I say, well, we expect to fetch between $900,000 and $1 million. Now, am I saying that because I honestly believe it's worth that, or am I saying that to plant this in people's heads when they come in to bid?
If they're talking to the auctioneer, then they're telling them what they expect.
Okay. If I'm talking to the public, I'm trying to drive it up.
Right. If you're talking to the public,
How much would you upsell it? This is you, all right? This is your auction moment. For whatever reason, they decided they love you in London. Mike, you're going to come out and auction this thing. What are you going to tell the crowd you think this is worth?
This is at least a $2 million bottle.
Okay. All right.
So here's some other
Mike's a liar.
So Mike, just so you know, the winning bid was from an unnamed private collector in Asia.
Of course
it was. Participated by phone. That surpassed the previous record of a bottle that was $1.06 million. The buyer, they say, may never actually taste what's in the bottle. Obviously, we don't know what will happen to it, but anyone who can spend that amount of money for a bottle of whiskey can definitely afford to drink it. But it's also an object of beauty in its own right. It is, in fact, a museum piece.
Mm-hmm. But at that point, right, so you say it's a museum piece. If I drink all the whiskey, because look, I get it, but on the other hand, if I spent $1.1 million for whiskey, I'm drinking the hell out of it. The fact that you still have the bottle, still what, one of 12, one of 24, whatever the case is, it's still kind of museum quality, right?
Well, what you do is you drink the entire bottle, then you put it in a case with a receipt.
There you go.
They say there's only a couple dozen of these. So if you have a million laying around, another chance to acquire one of these rare bottles, Sotheby's will be auctioning off one of the bottles, which is adorned with art from Blake. Blake is the guy who did the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Okay.
It kind of looks like clip art, but it's really not.
Yeah.
But it is. It's expected to range from like $700,000 to $1.2 million. So there you go. Do you...
I hope a rapper buys it and just pours it out.
You know he will in a video.
Does this just evaporate in your mouth? It's Do we know? Okay, first of all, it's...
Just pour it out $1 million bottle.
So this means that the whiskey itself was aged for 60 years before it was bottled. That's the way we do this, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, what does it say?
Aged means it was aged in the barrel.
Right. Yeah. So for 60 years, it was in the barrel. And then they extracted it. That's what it's not a 60-year-old bottle. So.
Now, my question is this, okay? Just like,
I mean, it could be, but
think about it, all right? So again, we decide we're going to distill. We get back together 6 years like, oh, S, man, I forgot we had that stuff in the back, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not something we did. This was not an effort. We just straight up goddamn forgot that we had a barrel of whiskey back there. But then the sales pitch in us goes, ooh, we can tell people this is some painstaking thing we did, right? But I'm sure it's smooth as hell and tastes like wood, right? But we'll put it in these here bottles and just sell the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. It's like it's forgotten whiskey. That's really what I interpret from this.
There's some places you can do this. To this day.
I know
that. You could go in and like buy a bottle, but you just got to remember 30 years from now.
That's what I mean. Okay. Like, just put it in a time capsule. Like, we forgot about this, but give us $1 million.
How many shots are in your average bottle? Do you know that?
From whiskey?
Yeah, or just of any bottle. I would assume the same amount. How many?
I should know that.
So we could divide it. I'm just curious to know how much a shot of the stuff.
Well, most people think a shot is 1 ounce, which is ridiculous. It should be two, but let's just settle on an ounce and a half.
All right.
Right.
Okay. Well, depends on the pour, I guess.
Airports will give you an ounce. Mm-hmm. Your buddy who's a bartender will give you three. If you're decent, they give you two. The average seems to give you about an ounce.
All right. So if you're doing an ounce and a half, you get 16 shots out of a bottle.
Okay.
16. Out of a fifth. That's 750 milliliter.
All right.
I'll give me a fifth.
Okay. So each one of these shots is about $100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
Somewhere around there.
Okay. That's a hell of a lot of money. You've done bottle service before. You've been a part of one of those parties. How much is a bottle? What's the most you've ever spent a group of people on a bottle?
I haven't.
Oh, you've never been to a party?
I've been part of a party, but I
you have no idea what the cost is.
I can't do the bottle service. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Because I spent $40 on one drink at a strip club in Vegas. Because I was like, I'm not buying a bottle.
Hell that.
Oh, hell no.
And then I got the tab, and I had two drinks.
Then we had the story
like $80
of the Utah couple who saved up for football tickets in an envelope that contained $1,060 and then was shredded by their 2-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
Ben and Jackie Belknap said they had been planning to use that $1,060 cash they had saved up to buy University of Utah football season tickets. Didn't you go, though?
Yeah, go Utes.
Nice stadium, good place.
Awesome. The backdrop is beautiful.
That's a shame they don't have that money.
Where are they playing?
They're playing the Washington Huskies.
Okay, cool. All right. The envelope contained the cash. It went missing sometime during the weekend. The couple then discovered their 2-year-old son, Leo, had used the envelope and its contents to experiment with his parents' paper shredder.
I'm guessing that the paper shredder worked well.
As devastated and as sick as we were, this was one of those moments where you just have to laugh, according to the mom. She said, boy, has... you know what? I got to say this. Like, as a 2-year-old, I don't know what you know about paper shredders. They're pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that was my fault,
They're not
man.
The things you want to be, quote, playing with. I don't know if you know what those teeth are like in there, if you've ever tried to get a jam
out.
Yeah,
but, like, I have one that's, like... It's almost like foolproof. Like if you put something bigger than a slice of paper,
let me tell you something right now. Almost your finger means nothing to it. This is almost impossible to do. Now you could get me, goddamn Stephen Hawking, Albert Einstein, or a 2-year-old kid. I'd be like, you know who's going to figure out the almost? It's going to be this 2-year-old kid, man.
The size of a 2-year-old's finger is significantly smaller.
Well, also, does yours just the top just pop off?
What's that?
It depends on the shredder.
Like, the shredder I had for a while.
There's these grinding teeth.
It's just a small, compact one.
All right.
Just for the smaller documents and illegal stuff.
Gets jammed all the time.
What are you shredding in there?
Just mail.
Yeah.
Leo helps me shred junk mail and just things with our name on it or important documents we want to get rid of.
Son, if you see our name on anything that looks official, it goes in here.
Yeah. The couple said they might yet be able to retrieve their money with the help from the U.S. Department of the Treasury, but it won't. It's going to take a lot of tape.
Come on.
But it won't be available in time for football tickets. I called the guy the next morning. He said, we might be able to help you there. And I was shocked. He said, bag it up in little Ziploc bags, mail it to D.C., and in 1 to 2 years, you'll get your money back. That sounds about right. That sounds like my post office conversation.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. We'll get somebody over there eventually as soon as we hire someone for that position.
I would think maybe the University of Utah will come over the top and just be like, here's some tickets.
Yeah. You would hope so.
But you're going to start hearing this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they do it once, people are just going to start shredding the hell out of money. By the way, some comments have come in. Apparently, a shot is officially 1.5 ounces.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
there
right.
There we go.
So our question, money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it?
in your defense, and in anybody that's worked in a bar's defense, though, the jiggers are not all the same size.
Easy, man.
Some are taller than others.
Yeah, you know what I mean, dude? The same genetics you got.
Some of them are an ounce and a half, but some of them could be 2 ounces.
But I thought it was on each side, right? Like, so one side is one side's the other.
Oh, dang. I thought they came in different sizes, period.
Well, they might. I'm sure they do as well. I'm just saying. I thought, well, either way. I just know when you're at the airport.
Yeah.
If you get a shot, like, that thing is measured off perfectly. I had to bribe a guy at the Salt Lake City airport. It was New Year's Eve. Flight got delayed, whatever. So a bunch of us are trying to get back home. We are stuck in the worst airport you can be stuck in on New Year's Eve. So they shut down, I want to say 9 or 10. But our flight didn't even take off till 11:30, man. But everyone wanted to keep drinking because it's the best we could do, all right? So they closed down. I walk in, and I was like, look, man, because he's putting up the chairs. I said, honestly, God, can we just buy 2 more beers from you? Sure, I'd love to help people. He goes through all the stuff. I'm like, all right, look. We now have 2 empty Big Gulp cups from 7-Eleven. Can you just fill each one of these a beer, right? We'll put a straw in it. No harm, no foul. Sir, I'd love to have these. Finally, it's like, brother, I will give you $60 in cash, okay? Fill these 2 cups. Now, to this kid's credit, he was like, I would love to do it, but I really. So finally, it's like, I'm going to break down how this goes for you. I'm going to leave here with 2 goddamn Big Gulps full of beer, and you can have $60 or you cannot. How about that? So he filled them up, man, went back out. Life of the party while we're waiting for the plane. Look, I don't care. It was aggressive, but I'm telling you right now, the flight was delayed. Everyone was pissed. Had a party to go to. Like, it just wasn't going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, in all the goddamn airports you can be on in this country, I am in the worst possible one. So I didn't exactly threaten
him. You're not
in
the worst one as far as, like, just closing off the lights, man. Who? John Wayne is the worst one.
John Wayne?
What, in L.A.?
We're going to close at 3 this afternoon. Lights out. Good night, everybody. We're
out. It's like the smaller one in Orange County.
We're out.
We'll go to LAX.
We got
to
get home early for dinner, so we're going to close down John Wayne.
But you had a choice.
They do that. I'm stuck at the one that they've got with some kid who's a little too honest to not be threatened.
I've been the guy in the morning time in Jersey. 6:30. I'll go to the diner. Let me get an eye opener. Sir, we don't start serving till 8. What am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
What am I supposed to think about
when
me?
When you fly in a red eye and you get someplace and you need some breakfast on the transfer.
Yeah, I guess I'll get some breakfast then.
Exactly. Now you sound like the guy from Officer and a Gentleman.
Thank God.
I got no place to go.
I'll tell you,
sir, we just don't serve alcohol. I got no place to go.
Since there's none in the area, pro tip, if you want to drink early, man, go to TGI Friday's bar at the Pittsburgh Airport. They'll hook you up.
If you're at the Pittsburgh Airport.
Yeah, I don't know what's listening.
If you're at the Pittsburgh Airport and you really need a drink in the morning, Miles.
TGI Fridays. Tell Miles sent you.
Drink hacks for Miles.
Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it? 844-999-OLA.
You know what? What I've discovered from
Miles sent me. He said you'll break the rules and serve me alcohol. Right,
we might all have a problem. I'm just like, there's something wrong with all of us.
That is a, for sure.
Right? Oh, different angles, same problem.
We just want to go home right now.
We just want to drink.
First thing I walked in today, Ted's like, I want to get out of here and drink a beer. I'm like, me too. I've been feeling that way the whole day. I guess we're going to do this
the whole day. It's this morning.
He's like, I got my workout in. Feel like the day is over. Like, I'm right
the whole
you.
Day.
I'm like, I'm right
it was
you.
Morning.
I know it's
I've been feeling like this whole day.
I agree with him.
I've been up for at least 2 hours.
Just sounds like the weekend's going to start any time. You never know.
Hello, Brennan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Yeah, so when I was about 10 years old, I was with my family on vacation in Portland at the Doubletree, and I was all swimming around in an inner tube in the pool, seeing something shiny kind of reflecting off the top of the water, so I dove into it, and I had my goggles on, and I find 15 $100 bills in a plastic bag.
Nice!
Oh, dang!
How old were you?
What'd you say?
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Yeah, it's like winning the lottery, man.
Do you get to, okay, all right, so now it's your parents' call.
Shh, no.
Do you, what call do they make? Do they, in other words, they'd be like, you know what,
see,
son?
If you were my brother, I would drown you. No. Let's tell here's mom and dad.
Okay. Okay. Here's
well,
what I would do.
My stepbrother, he tried to throw me under the bus and say, and get part of the money, which never happened in the first place. But my parents did the right thing and, went to the front desk, asked them if anybody's lost money, waited 90 days after that, and nobody ever claimed it, so I got her.
That's the right thing, huh?
Look. Okay,
I'm going to have to reteach my kids.
Well, you don't, because here's what you do.
Oh,
you say, listen, I want you guys to know something. The right thing to do is to walk down that hallway and go talk to the front desk people. I want you to stay right here. I'm going to walk down that hallway and give this money back. Daddy will be right back in about 5-10 minutes. After Daddy gets a cold one and gives enough time where you think,
it's going to take me a minute.
But I'll be right back. And it'll look like Dad put a pillow in his front left pocket.
Exactly. No, you're 100% correct. And you know what? This sounds terrible. I don't see anything wrong with that. Because the thing is, now listen.
And if nobody calls me in 90 days.
The kids still get a good lesson, right?
Yeah.
Because they believe that you have done
the right thing.
That's the lesson they learned.
Somebody had $1,500 in a plastic bag.
That sucks to be there.
They weren't doing the right thing.
They were only going to buy drugs with that.
Sure. That's what I'm saying.
And now I will.
That money didn't come from the right place. So why should I feel bad about
you
it?
You must be a criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
So why can't
we sound like horrible people?
No, we're not. You can steal from
it's dirty money. Take it.
Exactly. But just tell the kids you're doing the right thing.
You can use it. Spend it on an after-hours drink.
Right.
And the babysitter for the kids.
Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line there. More of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
God dang.
Yeah. There's a guy named Matthew Bellrose, and he is from Scarborough, Maine. And he owned 20% of a company called Sea Salt. And like all companies in Maine, they sold lobsters.
Lobster!
Well, it turns out that Matthew was secretly stealing lobsters. Here's what he did. He set up a fake client and pretended he was shipping there, but really, he was pocketing the lobsters to sell. Apparently, there is a black lobster market. Who knew?
A black lobster market or a lobster black market?
Yes, lobster black. Yes.
I only eat black lobsters.
I completely dyslexic. Yes. Anyway,
it's sweeter.
He embezzled approximately $1.5 million worth of lobsters before the owners even caught on to him. So now there's a criminal investigation going on, and then they just filed a lawsuit. He embezzled $1.5 million worth of lobsters before anyone caught on to the plan.
That is impressive.
Is that the right time to use the word embezzle?
I don't know what else you say. That's what he did from the company.
He embezzled the money.
I mean, the lobsters obviously did not go to waste.
Oh, hell no.
No, they were taken care of.
They were taken care of.
They weren't let go, I don't think.
They went to a farm, you see.
That's right.
It's like that guy that was stealing all the fajitas.
Right. Or the person who went back to the front desk and gave the money back like they should have. Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Pork and beans, bitches.
Yes.
So, first off, let me tell you, criminals are idiots, man.
Only the ones we know about.
Pardon?
Only the ones you know about.
Yeah.
Echo.
I was selling dope, and you run across people from all walks of life. Well, one of these guys that was coming in scoring from me, he worked at the post office. And he starts telling me, hey, man, you know, would you be interested in a postal money order machine? And I can get you the blank money orders, too. And I turn around, I'm like, well, tell me what's going on. He tells me the story. He tells me how he can get it and all this, that, and the other. And I tell him straight up, no, I'm not interested in it, but I can help you if you want, but you need to pay attention. The guy's like, okay. So I told him, snag the machine, the boxes of money orders that are on the shelf. You turn around, you pull one from the very back of the pallet, like 3-4 levels down, take the money orders out of the box, fill it with empty paper, tape it up, put the box back in there, take the money orders out. I turn around and told him, you print the money orders, and then you just make them random amounts. And I said, now mind you, when they finally get clue on this, they're going to start tracking down who's cashing these money orders. So you've got to turn around and have a game plan or you're going to get caught. And I said, and this is what you do. You print 500 money orders. You go cash 20 of them, random numbers throughout. The rest of them, you walk through Seattle and you just put them underneath people's windshield wipers. But you got to turn around and put, you know, ones out there for, you know, $100, $2,000.
Okay, long in the story. So what did he get caught?
Yeah, he ended up getting busted because he didn't listen to me and he got greedy. And the only ones he put underneath the windshield wipers were like $20 to $100. So they just looked at all the large.
Let me ask you a question.
Cashed.
Wait a minute, what were you selling? What were you selling?
Yeah.
I was selling coke.
Oh, so you were a criminal too?
Yeah. And you're telling him how to scam someone.
Yeah, I was the guy that called you about 4 weeks ago about the hiding in a tree from the cops.
Right. Are you still a criminal?
No. I still have the mind for it, but no, I don't do it. Right.
Okay. That was the most unconvincing.
That's what a criminal would say.
You do this, then you do this. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, listen, man, if I knew you were going to grab a money order printing
what just
machine,
happened there?
I wouldn't have any strategy for it. You want to go to the box of the bag full of
the Jefferson Boulevard and drop five.
Yeah, I'd have been like, good luck, man.
Am I playing a video game? Money, what's the story of the time you lost, found, stole, made, or spent it?
Anyone else not believe him when you ask?
I believe him.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. That's not the right note.
And he's still pissed about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I got the mind of a criminal.
The only one that went to jail was the other guy, not him.
I thought people just went to casinos.
Oh.
Don't you feel, and look, I'm not a big money order thief, so I don't know, but I feel like.
Not a big one.
I feel like I would call more attention to the fact that they're stolen money orders if I'm leaving them randomly under people's windshields. Right? Like, that's when the local news picks up a story like a good Samaritan is doing, right? And they fill in the blank, like, these 15 people got, like, I don't want to bring attention to the fact that they're stolen money orders. And I feel like leaving them randomly on people's windshields definitely calls attention. Process,
if they cashed them, they'd get arrested.
I understand the thought process. I just feel like you don't scream, hey,
all these people
there's
coming
a crime
in, at the
in this
time.
Apartment building, but not in my place.
Yeah. Good times. Bad jokes coming up. Email the bad jokes to the men's room at Men's Room Live. Ryan Castle, the drunk in charge, will be in the kickoff of the bad jokes before we drink and toast with a shot of the day.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.